You have to get him out of there.
Who?
The president, you bloody idiot.
You pimped us, Fury!
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Back in My Day. My name is Michael Power, and today, once again, I have the power because our regular host, David Petrangelo, is not here today. But luckily enough, I'm joined by two excellent guest hosts.
Ian Walter.
Wife Power.
You sound
I'm not
different.
Wife Power. I'm well, sorry. This is Mike. How are you doing? Mike Wallace.
Mike's here with us again. Mike from Whack Brackus and Multiverse of Badness podcast.
Multiverse of Badness.
So, Dave's not here, but we're going to continue on. And thanks for joining me, guys. Today, we're going to talk and wrap up our conversation on the Disney Plus series Secret Invasion. It has wrapped up. Me and Ian have covered the first three episodes on the main feed, and then we covered the other two episodes on our Patreon account. So check it out there if you want the full in-depth coverage. And then, you know, we had the finale. And so we're going to wrap it up here on the main feed, as we like to do with these MCU shows. And we have an excellent guest who knows a lot about comic books and has a great comic book collection himself.
Yeah.
So, Ian, let's start with you. Let's go over just overall thoughts of the finale and the series as a whole, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty details.
All right, sounds good. Well, I'm excited to have Mikey on here because, you know, last year we covered Moon Knight in its entirety from the first episode right to the finale, and we had a great time talking about that one. So it was really funny, though, going back and listening to that, knowing that Mikey was coming on for Secret Invasion here. I just want to remind everyone, because Power and I have been talking about this series in length, but Mikey made a great point when we talked about the Moon Knight finale in that, you know, everyone needs to take a chill when they don't necessarily follow the comic run. So it's going to be interesting to see how Mikey feels about the series and how Power, how you feel about it overall. We all know that I've loved this series throughout and I've been following along and sort of having fun with it. I think they landed the plane. I think we had our finger on the pulse and we kind of knew where they were headed with the finale, and it didn't play out exactly the way I was hoping or, you know, thinking that it might, but it played out still in a very entertaining way, in my opinion. And it'll be fun to get into the little details here and there, but I think we kind of called some of the things that happened throughout this finale, and, you know, for better or for worse, but I think we were dialed in on Secret Invasion, I think.
So you were pretty high on the series, and overall you thought the finale delivered and you liked the show, basically.
Yes,
right, Ian?
Like, I do like the show. Yes.
Cool. All right, so Mikey, we have not heard at all how you felt about the show so far throughout the six episodes. So how did you feel about, you know, the entire show? How did you feel about the finale? Where does this one sit with you after watching the finale?
You know, I'm going to say this. I love that Disney Plus takes these chances. They do things a little bit different than a movie, which is nice. They spread it out. Things have a little bit of a slow burn to them. And I love that approach. You don't get that in an entire movie. They have to pack it in. They have to set up the next movie. They can set these series up and they do make it where they come in and out. You know, obviously, they bring the movie stuff. But even if, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be a big event. And the acting in this show is fabulous. There's no doubt about that. As far as the series overall, wasn't bad. It felt, especially the last episode, which it sounds like we're focusing on here, a bit predictable. I won't get into too many things about the ending at this moment, but it just felt like when you said that landed the plane, that's exactly what it was. Because when you get on a plane and they fly and they land, you don't expect anything different than what you started flying the plane in.
That was great.
So this is exactly like landing the plane. You know, I got on, I expected, and
Mikey,
it delivered exactly
what I wanted. Crashing the plane, though. It's better than crashing the plane.
It is better than crashing the plane, but it was really not as much excitement in the entire series. And that's okay. Again, I'm okay with them not, you know, making everything She-Hulk, which I absolutely love. Still my favorite MCU Disney Plus series. Yeah. We could talk for years about She-Hulk and I wouldn't get tired of it. But yeah, this is fine. It's just fine.
So on that note of She-Hulk, though, like, did you like the finale? Did the finale hold up in She-Hulk? compared to your enjoyment of the rest of the series? Like,
yeah, I loved the finale because it was very similar to, you know, I think it was a 4 or 5 of the She-Hulk run. It was like literally played out. So they gave a callback to that, and it was very, it wasn't note for note exact. I really, you know, the whole Kevin thing, I was a little ish on that, but overall, I loved the finale. It was, you know, wall breaking. It was everything that She-Hulk's supposed to be. I loved that. And this was fine. Again, no shitting on the series. I liked it. I watched it when it came out, the next day it came out, which tells me, because I try to work out, I know you wouldn't believe that from a big fat boy like me, but I try to work out every day on my elliptical. I watch what comes out. So I watch this every day, the next day. So it tells me, at least mentally, I was invested enough into it to keep going with it and always make it a priority. So it was good. It was fine.
All right. So Power, I want to hear how your thoughts may have changed after watching the finale. But also, Mikey, the journey from 1 through 5, was that like a positive experience for you heading into the finale here?
It was all fine. Again, I mean, it really was. I would love to give you a better, you know, I'd love to give you a little more detail on everything. But again, the nice thing about this series is the acting was just fabulous. I mean, it really was. The I think Olivia Colman's her name, the one that plays Simon Baltimore.
She's
the fucking MVP of the series. She is great. Dope as fuck. You know, again, I can get into some, you know, I love Don Cheadle, one of my favorite actors. Hard not to like Samuel L. Jackson. They gave Emilia Clarke, like, literally, like, we love you. We're going to do whatever we can to keep you in as many fucking MCU movies as ever. So I felt like
here to stay.
a little bit cheese. I didn't like some of that. Again, we can get into that.
Yeah, eventually. We'll definitely get into that.
It was all fine. Again, it was like going to a restaurant you like and getting a meal that was fine. You know what you're going to get. It's all good enough. You're not going to write home about it. You're not going to go on Yelp and give them a 1-star review.
All right. Well,
unless you're Mike Powell, you're which
already
sounds
more
like he
glowing
might
than the rest of the internet is willing to give. So that's great.
I did not give it a 1-star review, but I didn't think, like, I thought the finale was okay. I thought there was actually, it's funny you brought up She-Hulk, because I thought of She-Hulk, and the She-Hulk finale kind of destroys this finale, because somewhere in the She-Hulk finale, she mentions, like, wait, as in the finale of an MCU show, just some massive, like, ugly CG white mess.
In the same way, though, that it destroys all the other shows as well, just this one.
But for this to go after the She-Hulk, it's like, didn't they and She-Hulk make fun of the fact that this is what all the final episodes are, and then they still did it anyways? And But in talking about in the finale, there's sort of two things happening. I much preferred the CG fight part than the other part. Like, I really like.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought it was half of a good episode. I liked that half of the episode. Oh, I didn't like the other half of the episode.
Is this teasing to the whole so bad it's good conversation that
we
have?
No, we can get into it when we get to the details. But I think overall the series, like, I'm a little disappointed. I don't think it was as good as I wanted a Nick Fury, Samuel L. Jackson vehicle show to be. I wanted it, like, more intrigue. I actually wanted it to be more like, okay, the comic book. I wanted it to be more like the comic book. But even though the Secret Invasion comic book is not known as being didn't blow me away. Like, I didn't love it, but there are parts I wish it took what the comic book did and improved on it. Like, I wanted it to be that sense of, like, the Skrulls are invading. You don't know evading. And you don't know who's a Skrull. And you don't know who is. And I wanted multiple ones of the multiple Avengers to be Skrulls and multiple reveals and twists and turns. And that sense of, you don't know who's a Skrull. It wasn't like that at all. It was much more straightforward than that. Told you who was the bad guys and who was the good guys, and they told you the bad guys' plans right away.
It sounds like you were hoping that this had been more of a culminating event film rather than
Is what I thought I was getting. So when I went into it, but take it for what it is. It was fine, like what you said, for what it is. It was fine, and unfortunately, it's my probably least favorite of all the MCU shows when I go to rank them. But they've all been really good, and I haven't given any of them less than a 4-star. Review before this, so, you know, take that with a grain of salt. I guess it's the lowest on my list, but yeah. So I don't know. Let's get into the finale and let's talk about the juicy details of what happened. And
this finale is a bit of a microcosm of the series as a whole, right? Because Mikey, you had mentioned that it's a slow burn. Well, there's a bit of a slow burn to this actual finale episode as well, where we're getting suspense in the form of, you don't really understand the confrontation that's going on between Gravik and Fury until it comes to a head, and we confirm that, of course, it's Gaia all along. So there's that build up to the confrontation of the hospital, and we know that Olivia Colman's character is Sonia Fallsworth is like kind of looks like she's manipulating the events with Rhodey or Scrodes and the president and trying to like give like strike fear in him to move the president. And then we see that the guards are getting taken down, but we think what's going on because it's just Sonia or something because Fury is over the reactor with Gravik and that whole thing. But you know, it's what we basically were talking about on Patreon, right? Power. It's the fact that we knew that he was talking to someone at the end of the Harvest episode 5. It happened to be Gaia on the phone there, and they had arranged this whole misdirect or bait and switch for Gaia to be in the reactor, which kind of makes sense from a narrative standpoint as well, because Fury wouldn't have been able to handle it, even with the iodide pills at his age. So it's really Gaia putting on the performance of a lifetime here and baiting Gravik into giving her all the powers of the MCU. So, yeah. Power, you think you have the power? It's actually Gaia who has the power now. Yeah. She has all the powers of the Infinity Saga.
Yeah, so we... Yeah, no, which is crazy. So we called that it would be like... We tried to predict it, that there would be like Scrodes versus Fury as one showdown, and then Gravik versus Gaia, is it, as the other showdown.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of like weird, questionable things that happened in this finale, like you know, it's all about the harvest, right? And the but when you think about it, it's like if this was Gravik's plan all along to get the harvest, nothing he did in the first 5 episodes really makes any sense. Like he told Nick Fury's wife to kill him, but like what was his plan to get the harvest if she followed through and killed him, right? There's all these things that like when you think about the show just don't add up. So I don't know, that's part of the finale that seems kind of weird, where it's like there's a lot of weird questionable things going on. But yeah, of the two confrontations, I much prefer the Gaia Gravik confrontation. I think the monologue that Gravik gave like was awesome.
It was.
And awesome. Kind of explained a lot of the motivation of him and everything. And I thought the battle was cool. I thought her getting the powers was cool. And I kind of thought the Samuel Jackson and Scrodes and like the hospital stuff kind of cheesy, like how they took everyone down through tranquilizing them. Like he didn't get in his War Machine armor. He just kind of like, was no just kind of like, what was his plan? I'm going to get in there and tranquilize everyone and convince the president that I'm right. It was kind of like silly. Like I wasn't feeling that half of the episode, but I don't know. Mikey, how'd you feel about
how this confrontation was set up to begin with?
Yeah.
You know, again, you guys kind of hinted at it, but it was pretty obvious to me. And I think you guys, even though, you know, I'm not sure you believed it early on or wanted to believe it, you knew that Gaia was going to phase off against Gravik. So to me, it like made all the sense in the world. As soon as I saw, like, I was like, first off, Nick Fury's not going to fucking do this. This doesn't make any sense. Secondly, to even take it. And this is where you kind of got to, like, you know, you have to like look at these shows with a grain of salt and go, you know what? Comic book fucking plots don't make sense half the time. And the harvest doesn't make sense for all kinds of reasons. What if Gaia can't take down Gravik?
Right.
Yeah.
Then she gives him all the fucking... Nick Fury gives her to give him all the power in the world. And it's like, okay, now you got a fucking second Miss Marvel. And all kinds of other shit.
He's a bad guy. Yeah. And what if she... Yeah, what if like, he didn't use the thing while she was in it? You know what I mean? What if he, like, killed her first? And then, like, there's all these things. Right. Like, doesn't seem very thoughtful.
There's a lot of logic flaws. But, yeah, it made a lot of sense that was Gaia and not... you know, not Nick Fury. As soon as I saw it, I was like, that can't be Nick Fury. You know, it's like, because I said, they set up the entire time. If you look at the beginning of the episode, Gaia is completely like, she doesn't fucking matter. Oh, well, let's not worry about Gaia. And then all of a sudden it's like, of course not, Gaia's here. And then I did love when, because Don Cheadle again, one of my favorite actors, just a fabulous actor.
He crushed it.
I love bad guy Don Cheadle better than I love... I can't remember the show he was in on HBO, but it was 6 seasons, and it was a fabulous show. Can't remember what it is. But yeah, he's kind of like this good guy, bad guy, dick, but, you know, kind of personal. And this just reminded me of that show so much. House of Lies, I think, might be the name of it.
And, I think you're right.
He's so fucking good at that role. So it kind of like sleazy Don Cheadle. I'm like, I'm into this. And then, of course, he does such a good job acting that you hate him, which tells me that he's doing a good job at acting. Because if I hate a character that I like the bad guy usually, and I'm like, this guy's a dick, then that means that guy's fucking nailing it. And sure enough, you know, him fucking getting blown away right away, I was like, okay, I'm into this. So I love that scene. It was dumb. Of course it's dumb.
I mean, calls the Admiral... saying the Admiral took stupid pills with her breakfast in the morning.
You know, all the fucking, you know, I mean, I think this is where, like, shows like this, it's fine to be dumb. Comic books are dumb 90% of the time, you know?
Yeah.
It's just supposed to be, you know, a lot of times you take your brain off about 90% of the time, and then, like, it's not, you kind of dump some fun stuff in there and you dump a plot in there, and then you put your head back on and let it shake around, and then it's like, okay, this is cool. So yeah, I'm all good with it. It was dumb. It was predictable. The ending of this was grossly predictable, but yeah, we haven't talked about that.
Yeah. Well, there we go. The one thing I want to point out that I really liked about the episode, which I saw a lot of people complaining about, is like during the CGI fight, anytime that Gaia or Grapp would use the powers, like they would, like if they were Drax, they would, like, yeah, their arm would turn into Drax. And people didn't understand, like, that's how Skrulls in the comics are drawn. Whenever he's using the thing's strength, his arm is the thing, or his arm goes invisible, or his, like, stretches, or it goes on fire, his arm goes on fire. Like, that was a nod to comic book, and comic book fans will understand the reference. That's like, you're seeing the Super Skrull use his powers the way he does in the book, but it's even cooler because he has all the powers of every MCU character up to this point, which is insane.
Yeah, that is insane.
Yeah, it was insane. It's
like, we were theorizing that it was going to be a Super Skrull with like four abilities. Yeah, they were kind of teasing that throughout.
Yeah, we thought it was going to be just dumped four them abilities all. That were going to be similar to the FF, but it's like they just gave them. And that ever, but now you have super, but the negative, like the, not the negative, but the part that I'm wondering is like, now you have Gaia, she's theoretically like the strongest character in the MCU. And it's, there's always like a problem when you're like trying to write a story, when you have this like overpowered character, like Ms. Marvel's always like,
she's a bit of an anti-hero. And
yeah, she's like, not totally good.
She's not positive, like she's not absolute one way or the other. So it could be
interesting. Yeah, it's not a complaint. I'm just curious how they're going to handle her, that now you have this overpowered character. Because like Captain Marvel's already overpowered, and how they handled her was just by writing that she was like off planet a lot, right? So like, you can't really do that for Gaia. Like, how are you going to have any other threat to humanity come in this universe without having her just like solve it all, right? How the writer's going to do that. So we'll see. Like,
you get but you bring the fucking Beyonder in. You bring in the fucking Living Tribunal. I mean, like, that's the thing. There's always somebody more powerful than the most powerful guy.
That's true. And I'm not going to lie, I did enjoy this showdown, this big battle between Gravik and Gaia. And like I said, I enjoyed the series overall, and, you know, was a little maybe underwhelmed by the ending, is because the first time I watched it, I was a little taken aback that she got every single ability as opposed to just, like, say, four.
Get the Scarlet Witch's ability.
Well, and that's the thing, is, like, you might have the DNA of everybody, but that doesn't mean you know magic and all this stuff right off the bat, right? But that being said, on a rewatch, like, the trade-off is, I appreciate that now we can see her using all these different abilities in battle, and like, yeah, she has to figure out which one to use in the moment and that kind of stuff. And now she is, in my mind, a little OP, but it's going to be interesting to see what they do with her going forward. But I think it works for what it is in this one. And like I said, it threw me off at first that it was like every single ability, but still fun to watch her, you know, which one is she going to pull out of the bag next. And just watching them go at it and everything. And yeah, she's as powerful, if not more powerful, than Captain Marvel now, but at least she's a little bit of an anti-hero, like I said. So they set that idea up that she's going to go off with Sonya Fallsworth. So the fight itself happens because Nick Fury decided he was better utilized at the hospital. And that's what I noticed on rewatch as well, is like, he had to make a decision either way. So this is him saying, I'm going to put my faith in Gaia. We've had this. We've reached an understanding. She's going to be responsible for the direction of the Skrulls moving forward. And I'm going to take care of the more earthbound responsibilities, which is protect the president and deal with Rhodes, right? So he couldn't be in both places at once. He made the choice to go deal with Rhodes. It sucks that we didn't get like a War Machine battle. I think there's some production issues here because they kind of teased that he was going to be in the War Machine armor in the trailer. So that seems like a complete misdirect. Or maybe they ran out of time and had to push too much. But it's funny because you were saying about Moon Knight, we all liked that show overall. We liked the finale. But the one thing you did say about it is the ending felt overstuffed. And I feel the same way here. They had just too much to cram into one finale of like 30
minutes. We wanted like a movie-length finale.
I wanted like an hour long. I wanted an extra 15, 20 minutes to kind of flesh some of this stuff out.
You know, more, not just like two scenes, it's all happening in two locations, right? Yeah. Like more spectacle, like bigger, like that's what I was thinking I was going to get based on the setup. But
ultimately, the showdown finishes off with Gaia putting a hole through Gravik, putting an end to that whole thing. So now she's the Super Skrull moving forward in the MCU. That's word for word what we're talking about here. Emilia Clarke is the mother of dragons in both Westeros and the MCU. So Gaia in the MCU moving forward, what do you guys think? Like, I thought her impact in the episode was pretty good. It was pretty cool that she has all these new abilities. It was fun watching her pull them out. You know, the ice sword, Thanos' arm from here and there. And then she, the big moment when they're in the sky, they're both using Captain Marvel's powers. They're both maxed out. And she switches gears, goes soft with Mantis, takes over and says, sleep. And he drops into the dirt. What do you guys think of the overall?
Where'd she get the ice sword from? Whose powers is this?
The Frost Giants. It was like a subtle hint throughout the series. I thought Gravik was going to bust it out before he got the harvest, to be honest.
But I was wondering.
It looks like they were a little limited. They focused most of their budget on this one battle. What do you guys think of it overall?
Mikey, did you like it?
I'll say this. I liked it enough, but it just felt like it was too much all at once. Again, it's like Gravik, you know, and I'm going to say this. Kingsley Ben-Adir is a better actor than Ben Kingsley, or at least as good. He fucking nailed this role.
Ben Kingsley? Wow. That's high praise.
Yeah, I mean, you know, same name. But he felt like a menace. But he was personable. I mean, you liked him, you hated to like him, but you hated him. Just a great acting job, really, all around. But my problem is this, is that, like, it felt like Emilia Clarke, Gaia, the entire series, she was just like this third wheel. It didn't feel like she was in there. She was ish in there, but, it was, you know, it was all about Talos. I mean, she was kind of like ish, you know, she was like, and they felt like, it felt like a shoehorn, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I'm the new fucking Captain Marvel.
Makes sense, like, for a big actress, right? Like, it was kind of like, why did they get her to do this role? And now looking back, it's like, oh, because, you know, they promised her that she was maybe the most powerful character. What did you think of, like, what I said?
We have the mother of dragons in the MCU.
Yeah. She was, when they were using their powers, they did the Skrull, Super Skrull thing, and they changed their limbs and all that. Yeah, that's what I loved about it. That's what I loved about it.
I love seeing the two different arms and she switch up. And then you were saying offline, Mikey, that you liked Drax the Destroyer. Well, we got that moment with Gaia.
Oh, yeah. I'm a huge Drax fan. I'm an old school, like, you know, Iron Man 54, 55 Drax fan is my old one. Mm-hmm. You know, when he had the terrible, I think he had like a skull belt. It looked like a world championship belt that he wore. That's my old Drax.
And she kind of like super punched him. Like it reminded me of a Dragon Ball Z. Like super punched him to kill him. And it was like an anime. Like it was pretty cool. Like, I don't understand why the Extremis doesn't heal him. Like, whatever.
Well, I guess because she blasted where the Skrull's heart was.
I guess you can die still. Like, I don't know. It doesn't have to be explained.
I kind of agree with all of that. It's, the fight wasn't bad, but I felt like you guys said, it's like, given the entire series, it was just like, they led up to this moment that they didn't lead up well to it. I don't think Gaia was used well enough during the series. She was kind of in the periphery.
That having been said, though, if it wasn't a 6-episode format and they condensed it down to a theatrical cut, I think it would play out as a cool movie.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not shitting on it. I liked it enough. I watched it.
So what did you guys think of, and this is like the number one complaint that I'm seeing online, not probably yet.
Are you posting it?
No, I'm not complaining about this, but I'm seeing it. Is people complaining that they don't like the fact that Scrody, you know, Rhodes is a Skrull.
Oh, we got to talk about that.
Because that means in the previous movies, you know, it wasn't actually him. Yeah. Tony Stark died and he had that scene that was actually the Skrull. That was actually Scrody. And people are complaining, oh, this takes away from this movie and that scene and this scene. They were like sort of dissecting and nitpicking all that. What did you guys think of that?
I think it was fine Tony Stark had Pepper Potts and Peter Parker to like deal with, and then like Rhodes was already like aside to that, so really it doesn't. So I did want to bring this up, and it's a good thing you did, Power, because it they're suggesting that it could go as far back as Captain America Civil War. So Rhodes is this a bit of a retcon for the Infinity Saga in that Rhodes has been a Skrull since he got injured in Civil War. But because I love Civil War, and because I love that kind of enriches Civil War, and my relationship with Civil War and Secret Invasion in the comic is similar, I kind of love that detail. And so if it goes back to Civil War, I'm in for that Rhodes reveal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just going to say this. This is me just shitting on people that shit on movies and like really like way too like Who you know, cares? Don't worry about every detail. This is just supposed to be all fun. We're literally basing this on comic books, people, okay? Mm-hmm. This isn't fucking Academy Award fucking... This is not intended. It's just a fucking comic book movie. Get over
it. They aren't real people,
If you didn't read all the shit that happened with the Skrulls in comic books, and this is what bothers you, they ain't... fucking cows.
Yes.
That were made of Skrulls.
They turned into cows.
Multiverse of Badness style.
Into cows,
I'm just saying, you know what? Yeah. This is not a problem. And no. Don Cheadle, again, he is probably one of my 10 favorite actors. He's so fucking good. And he flips it on that and off.
Be bad,
And to me, he was, you couldn't have had a better actor play
this.
Be
a badass in this series.
Yeah,
and
he was an asshole.
And,
I'll even go further and say I think it's awesome that they actually went back and made him a Skrull in previous movies, and you can go and rewatch the movies and recontextualize it.
Right.
And they're leaving it open ended. I think the director of the series said like it's open ended, so you as a fan can go and you can watch old movies and you can kind of decide for yourself when was he replaced. Right. They're not going to tell you. It's going to be open ended. 100. I wish they thought about that they were going to do this series and they had started planting the seeds earlier for more characters. They started did slight tweaks so that's in their the next personalities.
Question is, who else do you think is a Skrull? Do you think there's going to be, because they didn't cap it the way I thought they might have done in a traditional sense. Like they kind of said this is the next phase of the MCU. There's going to be Skrulls.
Yeah, and what happens? I mean, like you were saying, Mike was saying, like, you know, they didn't say it, but Ian, you made a great point. They did not cap it. Maybe Gravik isn't the only like cell, okay? I mean, like,
well, they mentioned the Emperor Druga or whatever.
I mean, what happens if there's like dozens of these cells? What happens if they've also invaded the, you know, the Avengers?
I'm still holding out that Sharon Carter is a Skrull. Bring on Armor War.
You nailed it. I think you're 100% right there because they got so much shit about Sharon Carter. In that, and also with the whole, you know, they brought the power broker bullshit into this. I mean, it ties too nicely. You know, I mean, but I could
that
totally
was Ian was calling that. And Ian
I could
called
totally 100%. I mean, that's fucking, you nailed it. I think that's what's going to happen.
Ian has a Reddit post like 6 years ago where he called Rhodey.
This makes too much sense. It makes too much sense.
It was 5 years ago, right before Captain Marvel was released. Because they released the stills, and there was like Skrulls on the beach. I'm like, hey. There's Skrulls on Earth in 95. There's got to be one character that has been a Skrull that whole time.
Yeah, and he called it, which is insane. Okay, the other critique that I've seen that I actually agree with this one because, and we didn't really talk about this, but the very, very end of the episode, the way when Nick Fury decides to leave Earth again at the very end of the series, he's arguably leaving it in a worse spot, especially for the Skrulls, than he came down to Earth for. He's supposed to be in love with the Skrull. He's supposed to be friends with the Skrulls. He's literally leaving Earth when the American government has declared war on them and is assassinating them and has killed squads out to hunt down every single last Skrull. And he's like, peace out. I'm going back to space. It's like that. Some people have described it as character assassination for the character of Nick Fury. I won't go as that far.
No.
But it doesn't play well. It's like, meh. It's like.
I have a different take on that, but I want to hear from Mikey as to how you feel.
No, I want to hear from you. You've got a take. I want to hear your guys' take because I don't have as much of a take on this. I mean, you're not wrong, and the internet's not wrong there. But I hadn't really thought about it because
it's like, he comes down for a specific reason because it's like, oh, there's this threat, and he leaves. It's arguably worse.
See, the thing is, and you know this, Mike.
Not
I don't
wrong.
Fuck around with the Twitters much anymore.
Yeah.
So I don't like get in like these little, you know, I miss some of this, and they're not wrong. But Ian, I need you to school me so I can have an opinion.
Yeah, let's hear the defense of it.
My thing is Samuel Jackson's always been integral to the MCU, and I love his take on Nick Fury, and I love his character. So I actually like that this is a showcase of Nick Fury and a journey for him. Yeah, we could argue where he leaves it and everything, and he's still going on to be in the Marvels, and we're gonna see. But the thing I realized on rewatch, because I watched it with my brother, and it's interesting to see from someone who's not as dialed in, like, this is actually his favorite of the MCU series. So it's a way different flip, because, like, he just knows, like, Nick Fury and, like, the Avengers. Like, he doesn't know everything else, all these little details, right? So he really liked Secret Invasion. When I watched it, I saw the journey that Nick Fury goes on as being, like, a mirror to what happens. You know, he puts together the Avengers. In this sense, he's putting together a team of people to stop a Skrull invasion. So it's a similar journey he goes on. And then, of course, what we know after the Avengers, he collapses and, you know, even in Avengers, they're calling him out on, you know, being going too far, overreaching. And then in Winter Soldier, he's responsible and then has to go back and help bring down what he created as this monster and these helicarriers that, you know, intervene in on all matters of Earth. Now he's created a catastrophe again and has to go back to deal with it. So it's mirroring his journey, and it's the same thing with Nick Fury. He always creates this monster he has to take down, and he's still dealing with the Skrulls and thinking that the best way is to go get amnesty and create peace with the Kree again and get them off the planet. But like we see, we didn't mention yet what happened on Earth, right? We have a one-term president, as Nick Fury has coined it, with this guy, and we're going to have Ross taking over, and there's going to be this climate with Captain America, Brave New World, and the Thunderbolt. It's interesting to see this world they're creating on Earth.
What do you guys think? So I think I took out of that is that, okay, so he created gravity. He created this problem. He's got to come down and solve it. I agree with that. That's why that's the one thing that got him down from space. It's his responsibility. Like he mentioned many times, he's leaving Earth now. They're being hunted, but there's no threat to humanity, I guess, right now. There's no like Skrull out there wanting to bomb humanity like Gravik did. So he's leaving. He's going to negotiate with the Kree. He's doing what he thinks is going to be the best thing for them and get them off the planet. Yeah, they're being hunted, but he's going to do what he thinks is the best and find them another planet or something. That way he can get them off of Earth without being hunted. Like I could buy that sort of rationalization. But yeah, I do understand the criticism of like, wow, the Skrulls are in a bad, like the Skrulls are in a bad spot at the end of the
season. Well, he did fuck over the Skrulls. That is not
been the
totally
fucked up the Skrulls.
But I want to finish my take on Fury with another take, but I do want to hear from Mikey before I talk any more about Fury.
Okay, I'm going to take this in a different direction. Okay. I'm going to take this as a man that is much older than you, man. I'm 51 years old. I'm older than fuck. And you know what? I can say this about Samuel L. Jackson and his portrayal, particularly in this series of Nick Fury, that I really love. This is Nick Fury, especially from the way Samuel L. Jackson plays it, is better than I like Nick Fury in the comics. He really is that good an actor. Their portrayal of this was that good. What I loved about this series is they even humanized him more. He feels old. He tells you he's old regularly. And I can tell you as a guy that's 51 versus when I was even like 46, age fucking matters. You get a little more tired. Stuff wears on you a little more. You need to take a break. Stuff that you thought was important, at some point you start going, maybe I'm not that important. Somebody else needs to fucking step up. And I think that's where he's kind of at. He's like, look, man, we've got Gaia now, who's the fucking super of the fucking super, super Skrulls. She can fucking help take care of this, okay? She can help the Skrulls out. Maybe I can back off a little. And he's getting into a little more diplomatic role. He's like, dude, I gotta fucking chill out. You know, as well as you, here's a series where he just realized his wife was a fucking Skrull.
Well, he knew that though, the whole way.
Did he?
Yeah.
I don't. Okay.
And he became cool with, yeah, we didn't talk about that scene, which I'm sorry, but I was laughing out loud during the kiss scene. Like, I don't know if it came off the way they wanted it to.
You knew he had to do that. Narratively, he had to do that, though. Like, he couldn't just,
I understand the narrative.
Be cool with the human
people in their own skin. Like, it's a nice, like, I won't make fun of it too much because it's a nice message.
Well, I mean, I think that's, you know, I was telling you earlier, it's like the end is so hokey, but it's not the wrong message. It's just ridiculous.
It's just kind of
funny. But at the end of the day,
this ending, right? It's the Disney ending.
This does come down to a humanization of a guy that was never a superhero. I mean, in a way, I mean, like, give Samuel L. Jackson, give Nick Fury the credit during the entire
run. He created the Avengers so the Avengers could solve the problems, and he didn't, like, you know what I mean? He was, like, the guy behind the thing. So,
yeah,
like, he's always been the spy.
All that matters now is that this guy has put so much for so long. And, yeah, he went off, but he's old, man. He's tired. He's busted up. He's like, somebody else needs to fucking take it. And I can tell you that as a guy that gets old, man. I mean, sometimes you're just like, you know, you're at work and you're like, somebody else needs to do this, man. I'm not the guy anymore, you know?
So fantastic.
I understand. I feel it.
I think that is a valid defense that we made of Nick Fury and the ending of the movie. So it's the most valid defense I've seen on the internet.
Well,
so
and the other thing is, speaking on getting old, Ben Mendelsohn, I think he was one of the standouts in the series as well. And it's sad that his character has come to an end. It's kind of like unceremoniously, but like, it's just like, it is what it is. He's like a plot point now, but like, I really did think his dynamic with Nick Fury was the strongest in the series.
Yes.
In
my opinion. Yeah. And to take that even just a little bit further is that that is where Marvel, and it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, when you look at the length of this run of Marvel, I don't think anyone expected these movies to last this long and to go this deep and have this many tentacles into Disney Plus and series, etc. And these actors are growing older, and it does make sense to start aging them out a little bit. Now, of course, we can make the whole argument with like AI and bullshit, which don't get me started on that because we have seven hours. Zoom would fucking tell us to fuck off. You can't fucking deal with that. But yeah, ultimately, at the end of the day, I love comics, of course, but you know, Batman is what? He's like 273 years old at this point. At this point, these characters are aging out, and they need to put, especially to human characters, a resolution to their story. And I kind of like that in a way, even though it doesn't, from a comic book lover standpoint, it hurts, but it's supposed to hurt a little bit, and I'm fine with that.
Right.
Cool. Any final thoughts on the finale? I do have one more point I wanted to make about the Fury
situation.
Just because I think another criticism of the series that I saw was like, well, we had this great moment with Gravik and this great monologue, great finale, great. Until they realize it was Gaia. So their big negative on it is because it loses meaning that he's not actually talking to Fury. And I didn't really care about that. I mean, I that's part of the twist, you know, once you realize it. But then when you go back and watch it and you see it from Gaia's point of view, it's like, okay, well, you're saying Fury kind of gets away with it. He doesn't really have to face consequences. But then we have this Gaia. She's not Carol Danvers. He can rely on her as an ally. With Gaia, not so much. Like, she knows what he's really like. And he potentially has created an enemy in her. She's working with Sonya Fallsworth. So it's like not necessarily true that she would be an ally to Fury again. It's more likely that she'd be apprehensive because she knows how Gravik was affected by her.
Yeah. I understand that a lot of, but like the monologue was really good by Kingsley, but the Gravik, but a lot of the responses by, who I thought was Fury, but it wasn't. They're so like specific. It's like
it was her giving a good performance of like, I'm Fury. Yeah, but
she really
with Skrulls you can kind of play around with.
They
might have
shape shifters. You had to work that into the finale. You had to somehow. So I guess I didn't have a problem with it. Not at the time. Not until you pointed it out, actually.
Yeah, I got no problem with any of it. Like I said, that whole scene again. It was predictable. At the end of the day, it didn't matter how it all played out. We're in the last episode. We know most likely Nick Fury's going to live. We have a pretty good idea. He's going to be fine and go. Yeah, it was what it was. Again, not a perfect series. I'm not going to sit here and tell you this is my favorite series. It wasn't. It wasn't close, but it wasn't awful. I mean, it was fine.
Before we leave, do you know where it ranks in your MCU series? Like, I did my rankings, updated them after the series, which I do after every series. It unfortunately falls last for me, but.
Oh.
I wonder where it fits for you guys.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to think of all the series, which I don't have in my head at the moment. It depends on if you're talking the highs or the lows. Jessica Jones at the end, the Netflix series, I loved it the first season and a half. By the end, I was like, I can't watch this anymore. This is awful. Daredevil, I liked. Moon Knight was like probably the most inconsistent because I went from loving Moon Knight to hating Moon Knight to being like,
oh, really? Oh,
yeah, it was just like, it was just all over the place. But this is one that's like, it was consistently.
Middle tier?
Like consistently ish. There was nothing that I loved about this series. There's nothing I really hated about this series. I mean, it really is. It's like going to the restaurant you love or you like. You like the restaurant. It's affordable. You get the meal you always get. You know what you're going to get. It's consistent. That's what this felt like to me. Though I do say, you know, in a way, this was a bit, from a Marvel standpoint, a bit of an outlier for the series because it wasn't. You know, I mean, like, it was ish super scroll driven, but it wasn't superhero driven. The majority of this was like grit.
It was the spy thriller genre, like Winter Soldier.
Yeah, so I was fine with it. I love the reach. I love the attempt. I liked the attempt. I didn't love the results of the attempt. It was all fine. I mean, it was very middle of the road. If I had to look at it all, it probably is in the bottom third because I love most of the series, but you know, from a consistency standpoint, it was consistently ish.
Okay. I know I'm the highest on this show for sure because I still like Loki. And
you're
like
also high on the rest of the show. So that's why I'm curious where it ranks because, you know, yeah. Say you loved all the shows and it's last.
Like, Loki, WandaVision.
It doesn't mean you hated it. It just means it's last, right? Things you like.
To be honest, I like Loki, WandaVision, then Captain America, the Winter Soldier, Falcon, the Winter Soldier. Yeah, so it might be fourth unless maybe Moon Knight is fourth and then this makes five.
Okay.
So where's She-Hulk?
Yeah. She-Hulk's a little lower, yeah.
Boo! Boo this man! Boo!
I think I like even Hawkeye says more than that.
It doesn't matter because She-Hulk lower.
Oh, and Hawkeye is amazing. I love Hawkeye, too.
Although I like She-Hulk more than I like What If, so that's something.
Yeah, that's
fair. Okay. All right. So, I guess any last words on Secret Invasion before we wrap it up?
Mikey, where do you rank Ms. Marvel compared to her?
I love Ms. Marvel. Well, Miss Marvel was great the first like three or four episodes, and I thought it ended well. There was like a fourth, fifth episode somewhere around there that I felt like it drug. I loved that Miss Marvel
last episode.
Felt like the entire Miss Marvel of all the series felt the most like a comic. They did a really good job of that, and I really do think that they did a good job of making it like relevant to girls. You know, where it felt like it was a show not just written for dudes. It felt like it was written almost, I won't say just for girls, but it was written like as a very an open episode. Mm. And that's why I wasn't super hip on the Marvels, but I love her character, Miss Marvel. Mm. And I've seen some, there's been two previews of the Marvels. One of them I love, one of them I don't love. But
which one? The more recent one?
Yeah, I didn't like the more recent one, I think.
Because I don't know anything about the villain. That's the only thing that I'm like,
again, but I am excited to see that because I love, I love all the characters in there. So it's going to be fun. So yeah, I love Ms. Marvel. I thought, I forgot about that, didn't you? I thought that.
Well, I like Ms. Marvel, and it's funny you mentioned the Netflix series because my favorite episode of She-Hulk was the Daredevil.
If you don't like the Daredevil episode, you're just an incel. I mean, at the end of the day,
at the very least, you're done with MCU. Like, you shouldn't be.
Do not shit on these guys for me saying that. You come at me directly because I will fucking tell you.
Oh, we endorse that.
It's a great 100%. Fucking episode. It's so good. It's so good.
So my final thoughts on Secret Invasion is, it'll be interesting to see how this plays into Captain America, Brave New World, and Thunderbolts, because they're creating this atmosphere of fear on Earth. And we know that, Harrison Ford's take on Thunderbolt Ross is going to come in and be president next, right? So obviously the decisions made by this president were a little rash and it's going to backfire on him. And we're going to get Thunderbolt Ross to come in and, defend America. And then we hopefully get Red Hulk. We hope we get, Harrison Ford as Red Hulk. Forever.
Wow. No, Mike's giving thumbs up. That would be sick. Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Sounds a whole lot like CGI bullshit to me. Machine learning AI. No, I'm not about that. Yeah. Harrison Ford, great actor. He's like 972 years old. Yeah. He should not be playing.
Because of AI, he's going to act forever. He's going to be Red Hulk.
He will be Red Hulk forever. I guarantee you.
I know. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
It's not supposed to work. Okay, well. Anyways, I'm curious to see if the Skrulls are going to like come up again and if this, that's what I'm curious about. But overall, I honestly did not think it was the greatest show, but is what it is. So that's our thoughts on the Secret Invasion finale. Before we go, Mikey, where can people find you on the internet? When are we getting our next episode of Multiverse of Badness?
Sadly, I'm going to break some news to you. It's most likely we're done. Which is unfortunate. I won't promise you that.
No, you need episode 69. I'll do it with you right now.
It's oddly enough. Whack Brackets ended at episode 68 as well. So I think this is like my end game.
Podcast should be called like 68.
Yeah. But 68. Now Zach and I have both been busy. I mean, he's, we've both been dealing with shit. Fuck it all. Fuck the real world. That kind of sucks. But Zach's amazing. And we would love to get it started again. And it may happen. But at this point, we've kind of just we put it on the shelf for the moment.
The episode of 69 of Multiverse of Badness is going to be when Swarm comes into live action, because it's going to happen. Swarm Gang.
But it may happen. We'll see what happens. But at this point, it's on the shelf. However, if you want to reach me and bitch at me for all these bad takes, hot dumb takes, you can still reach me at Multiverse of Badness at toots.whales on Mastodon, because as I always say,
there you go.
Fuck x.com, fuck the Twitters, I'm done with that. Blue Sky, I don't love it. I want to love it, but I don't. But yeah, I'm still on Mastodon, so come at me there, guys.
All right, well, listen, if that is the end of the show, there's a great 68 episodes for everyone to listen to, one of our favorite podcasts here on Back in My Day, so.
Two Swarm episodes.
Yeah,
obviously. Madness, Back in My Day.
If there's more, I'd love it. But if not, there's 68 great episodes. So go check them out. Go check out Multiverse of Badness. And Mikey, you're always welcome here on Back in My Day. If you ever get that podcast.
You're a Back in My Day resident at this point.
Moon Knight, I love it.
Secret Invasion. Yes.
Love it.
So thanks for joining. This podcast is called Back in My Day. You can find us still on X, but we are hopefully migrating over to other social media platforms.
Boo this man!
I have gotten off of Twitter on my personal account. I am on Mastodon, MaxRPower, and Blue Sky, yeah. MaxRPower. So
Ian Walter has no longer tweeted on the Twitter.
Ian Walter
X.
is off the X as well. So, yeah, if you're looking for a podcast, the best way to find it is just on Instagram or Threads at Dave Backin. Or on our Patreon, patreon.com/backinmyday, and find us on your podcast app of choice, Back in My Day, the podcast, and leave a review or a 5-star rating if you want to help out the show, because that really helps. Other than that, thanks for listening. Thanks again, Mikey, for joining me. Thanks, Ian, for your stalwart defense of Secret Invasion. We always appreciate you bringing the positivity. So, yeah, thanks again for listening, and hopefully Dave will be back next time, and we're hopefully going to talk more Turtles.
I'm the new Dave.
Or Mikey's
Turtle
the new
time.
Dave.
Hey, Turtle time. Turtle time with
right.
Mikey.
Turtle power.
Turtle time.
Checking behind the doors. You really are a Skrull.
You're right. I failed you.